You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate playoff podcast. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. Yankees bounce back against the Astros by a final score of 8-1 in Game 3 of the ALCS on Monday. Former Yankees reliever and four-time World Series champion Jeff Nelson, as well as Astros radio announcer Steve Sparks, joined JP and I to break down all the action from Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. JP, as we talked about coming into this one, Yankees had the advantage. CC Sabathia pitched just about as well as he could have pitched tonight. And for the Astros, their bats were shut down. And it was a night to forget for them. Yankees 8, Astros 1. Let's get some of your thoughts on tonight's game.
Well, you know, for me, again, the biggest thing is trying to get into the Houston Astros bullpen. If you can get into the Houston Astros bullpen, then there could be some success for the New York Yankees, like tonight. They're able to go out there. Charlie Morton didn't have his best outing. They get into the bullpen early in the game. All of a sudden, you have a home run by Judge after, you know, a home run by Frazier, which I also said a big part of the bottom half of the bottom half of the lineup had to get going, because the top half of the lineup, you can't expect them to always carry it. You know, at some point they needed to be able to take the pressure off the top half. And today, you know, Todd Frazier goes out, hits a big home run, which I don't know how he went opposite field, literally just throwing the bat at the ball. Pretty powerful stuff. But at the end of the day, if the New York Yankees have any chance of winning this series, it has to be with the opportunity to get into that bullpen. And again, you have to tip your hat, CC Sabathia, when he needed to go out there and pitch a gem, he went out there and did another amazing job. So for me, it's like CC Sabathia may not have had the greatest regular season or what he used to be as a starter, but in the playoffs, he is making his contract worth every single penny.
Again, Yankees over the Astros 8-1. New York is now down 2-1 of the best of seven series to the Astros. Welcome to the MLB at the Plate playoff show, the postseason show here, as we recap tonight's game of the ALCS. We'll also preview Game 4 of this series and Game 3 of the National League Championship Series as well, alongside former big league catcher J.P. Arencibia. My name is Holden Kushner. Well, let's talk about CC for a second, because I'm watching Sabathia, and he has a brilliant start, 6 shutout innings, 3 hits. He did walk four, but he struck out 5. But here's the thing about CC. I think he has pitched his way back onto a major league roster. There was a lot of question toward the end of the season whether or not his career was over. You and I had seen some stuff out of him toward the second half of the season, say, hey, this guy can still get some wins. I think he's back on a major league team, whether it be the Yankees or not next year. And once he gets 100 and some odd strikeouts, he'll get the 3,000. Hopefully he'll get into the Hall of Fame. This guy is a remarkable pitcher. You know, his stuff in nearly what it used to be 5, 6, 7 years ago, but this guy still knows how to pitch. And to tell you the truth, I think he's the one guy that I would feel most confident with going out to the mound if I'm the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Severino looked really, really good. So, I mean, you can't, other than that first kind of the game that he had that little, in the playoffs, the play-in game, he had that little bit of a hiccup. He's been very, very good. And Tanaka's another guy, but you really, really have to tip your hat to a CC Sabathia, who, again, we understand, you know, everybody was giving him, you know, a hard time. You know, people have talked not very highly of him, and all he's done is gone out there and proved everybody to be wrong. He does not have the same stuff that he had previously in his career. But what shows the will of a true champion is when you don't have your best stuff to still go out there and compete. And what he's doing right now is he's out competing everybody that he goes up against. So it's really, really fun to watch him to go out there with the stuff that may not be the same as a Dallas Keuchel or a Justin Verlander, but he goes out there and continues to compete and get outs and give this team really the starts that it needs to be able to continue on in the postseason.
You know, speaking of CC Sabathia, big league pitchers have a lot of options when it comes to staying in control of the mound. But when it comes to you and business travel, there's only one true choice for total control. That's National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car on the aisle, and go. You can even pick a full size or above. You'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take the mound for your next business trip, take control. Go with National. Be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control, go with National Car Rental, go National, go like a pro. Be joined by our co-host, our co-worker, Jeff Nelson, the four-time world champion with the Yankees, in just a few minutes from right now. But let's move on to Aaron Judge. As we discussed before, he is the straw that stirs the drink, okay? And he hit the big three-run home run tonight after Todd Frazier had hit his, and Judge put a nail in the coffin. He made that nice catch in the outfield, too. You just get back to it. In some way, shape, or form, Aaron Judge is going to have to perform at the plate for this team to consistently score runs, and we saw that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the biggest thing is his ability to hit a baseball and score three runs right away. And that's why, I mean, we talk about a team that lives and dies by the home run. They were able to score six runs by home runs today. And if they can run into some balls and give themselves opportunities, they're going to be a team that could possibly come back and upset. The biggest thing, again, has to do with can they get in the bullpen, because they're going to have to get by a Justin Verlander and a Dallas Keuchel who don't give up many home runs. So if you're a home run hitting team and you have to grind out at bats and score other ways – if you were a Boston Red Sox team that did that, that's what you're used to. But a New York Yankees team, they have to, it seems like they have to drive the ball out of the park to score some runs. And today they were able to do that. Again, they have to figure out a way to either A, get the pitch count up for Verlander and Keuchel and get them out early, or B, drive the ball out of the park against those guys. And they really do not give up home runs.
So the Yankees were 51-30 at home during the regular season. They're 4-0 at home, and we'll see if they can pick up another couple here. We still got to find out who the Astros are throwing in Game 4. At this point, maybe it's Lance McCullers, but let's get to Charlie Morton, because you know, Morton was cruising early on, and he gave up the infield hit, a couple of runners on, and when Todd Frazier hit that home run, it really looked like just a pop fly. Is what it was. I think the line on Morton was a lot worse than it ended up being. He went 3 2/3 innings. He gave up 6 hits, 7 runs. But if you really look closely at that game, you got a pop fly that in 90% of the ballparks isn't a home run, but it was tonight by Todd Frazier. And then inexplicably, Cameron Maybin pulled up on a Greg Bird pop fly that led to a ground rule double that went on to lead to a bigger inning. So I didn't think that Morton pitched as poorly, nearly as bad as his line did. And I still don't understand what the heck Cameron Maybin was doing on that play. That was completely shocking. Do you have any idea why he would just stop on a pop fly?
Well, I mean, the big thing is knowing where the fence is and knowing where, how much room you have. And that's, you know, again, he hasn't been out there really until a lefty was on the mound. So that makes it a little bit tougher. Being in a new stadium, in the Yankee Stadium, you know, there's little things that go into it. But I'll tell you one thing that I agree with you most of the time. I don't agree with you about Frazier's home run, that it was just a pop fly. Frazier, if you have watched Frazier, you know, most of the time throughout his career, he's also the guy who hit a home run on a broken bat. Mm-hmm. He's got some big, big time juice, and that's a ball that, you know, it's a fastball in the mid 90s, and he gets full extension. And he's reaching out there to hit it. So you hit that on the barrel, when a ball's pitched that hard, the ball can go. And he is a guy who hits a lot of home runs on his front foot. It's something that he's done his entire career. It gets him in trouble, but he also is able to hit some really tough pitches like that, and that's what happened tonight. He is just one of those special guys that can hit a ball like that. Now, is it a home run on every field? I don't know, but I am going to say that he is a guy who hits balls out of the park like that, and I'm going to give him credit on this one tonight. But, again, it shows how important it is for the Yankees to be able to hit home runs. Because if they hit home runs, they win, but it's really live or die. Because if you think about it, Greg Bird has three homers. You have Judge, who hits the second home run of the playoffs, or second or third home run of the playoffs. Frazier hitting a home run. I mean, other than that, they're really not manufacturing many runs.
No, they're not whatsoever. Again, a one-armed swing, oppo, boom, got it. And there you go, and the Yankees get the victory tonight. Again, 8-1, the final score of the Astros. Let's head out to New York right now, catch up with the four-time world champion, Jeff Nelson, joining us. Hey, Nelly, that had to be a nice little atmosphere in Yankee Stadium where the team continues to go unbeaten. And really, your thoughts on CC Sabathia and why he was so good tonight?
Well, again, he just continues to amaze. He goes in game five, and he didn't get quite five innings against the Indians. He was the perfect guy in that situation. He's the veteran guy in that rotation, even though he may not be the number one guy. He just steps up in the big situations, and tonight was a pivotal game three. And you look at what he did today. Yeah, obviously they gave him a cushion. They went out and gave him a big lead. He had a great breaking ball. He was able to spot his fastball. He gave six solid innings, and that it did wonders for the bullpen. Not only just scoring eight runs, but actually giving the Yankees six innings, the rotation six innings, was able to give their bullpen a little rest. Adam Warren came in. Betances, again, was all over the place. I just don't understand it. I mean, I know what's wrong with him, but then they had to bring in Kamley. But outstanding job by CC. I mean, when you think about a veteran guy and things that just don't bother him, whether it's on the road or at home, he's that perfect guy. He's a guy that's not going to let the situation become any bigger than what it really is. And he just did a tremendous job tonight.
Nelly, you talk about the bullpen and saving some bullets. But again, I think that the Astros are going into the clubhouse a little excited that they actually had to get Chapman up and they had to have Kenley come into the game. Talk about, because that actually, you at 8-0 and the guy in the bullpen, you're kind of expecting not to be in that game if you're a high-leverage guy. Well, they had to use a high-leverage guy, and they had Chapman get up. Do you think that they could have maybe tried to grind it out a little bit longer with Betances? And honestly, do you think that could maybe hurt them either tomorrow or the next day?
I think it could hurt them, and I think you're right. You have an 8-0 lead. You need to ride out some of these guys in the bullpen. You have enough guys in Robertson and Chapman to be able to get through just in case you have an emergency. You have an 8-0 lead. You have three or at least two more games at home that you're going to need your main guys. The worst part of it is for a bullpen guy to get up and get down. Chapman got hot, and that's almost like using him. I would have liked to see him maybe if you wanted to go with Warren a little bit more. You're probably not going to use him tomorrow. Or Betances, like you mentioned, let him. I know he walked the first two guys. If he walks the bases loaded, fine. If they hit a grand slam, you're still up by four, and you're in the ninth inning. They're not going to come back and beat you. You got to try to give your main guys a rest. And I know Girardi doesn't want to get to, have any kind of momentum shift to the Astros side, and he wants to end the game as quick as possible. But at the same sense, you got to give your bullpen a rest. You got to give the main guys a rest, and Betances hurt them tonight. And yes, the Astros are, if you look at game four, they've had a few days rest. Verlander gave them nine innings, and they really didn't go to their main guys in game three. So game four, they're all set.
Speaking about the Houston Astros bullpen, this is, for me, my key to the Yankees beating the Astros, hands down, has to be them getting into the bullpen. Somehow being able to grind out at-bats a Verlander or a Keuchel, because they're not the guys that give up a ton of home runs, and it seems like the Yankees hit a ton of homers. What adjustments do you think that they can make, and do you foresee them being able to grind out at bats? Because right now it seems like it's either home run or not scoring runs.
Yeah, and they play well at home. I mean, they had the best record in the American League at home. They've had the most homers in the American League. This is a place that they're comfortable. They're going to face either Peacock or McCullers Jr. I think it's going to be McCullers Jr. maybe in game four. you know, you're going to have to face Harris. You're going to have to face possibly Gregerson and Harris. I mean, Giles at the end of the game tomorrow. You know, the Yankees just have such great confidence at home. I mean, look at Frazier's home run. You know, don't tell me the ball's not juiced when you're reaching out and one arm in it opposite way. Come on now, no, nobody takes that thing for a 3-run homer, GP. Come on, what's going on with that pitch?
He disagrees with us.
I disagree because you talk about one guy who had, he has front foot home runs, and he's also, if you remember, he's also the guy who hit a home run and broke his bat. So the dude has a little bit of special power. So I've seen him hit
special
many.
Special power?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was like 4 to 10 rows deep, opposite way, one arm on him. That was, what, a foot to 6 to 8 inches outside, at least. And he went on and got it. Good for him because, you know, he's such a fun guy to watch. But my goodness, man, you hit it that far and you go deep. But, you know, the Yankees are just so comfortable at home, they feel that they can beat anyone. Now, obviously, now winning Game 3, they're going to have to face Keiko in Game 4. So not just did Game 3 become a must-win, Game 4 became a must-win. Because if they don't win Game 4, I don't see Keiko, you know, getting hit. I mean, he's going to be the same guy that they saw in Game 1 in Houston, and it's going to be tough to beat him.
Nelly, Jeff Nelson's with us. So Sonny Gray is going Game 4, and A.J. Hinch just announced it'll be Lance McCullers going Game 4 as well. So McCullers is no slouch. He's been injured. He's been on a DL a couple times this year, but he's got some really nasty stuff. But, I mean, how much does Sonny Gray have to give him? We were just talking about some of the bullpen deficiencies with Betances maybe overworking some of the guys. How long does Sonny Gray have to go?
Well, here's the thing. That's why I say this game's that much more important, because you have to win, because you're going to face Keuchel the next day in Game 5. So you don't want to let the game get out of hand if you're the Yankees. If you're Sonny Gray, you know, he pitched so well in Houston, I mean in Oakland, in the division series when they went to the playoffs. New York's a little different animal, and I think he's felt a little bit of the pressure. Now, during the regular season, 8 out of his 11 starts, he only gave up 2 runs or less, and he was great. They just didn't score for him. For some reason, the Yankees just don't score for Sonny Gray. Hopefully, that changes in Game 4. And hopefully, Sonny Gray goes out there and puts the last couple appearances that he had in the playoffs behind him, because they really need him to go at least 5 or 6 so they can get to Robertson, so they can maybe get Kingley an inning and then get to Chapman. You know, because it's a 7-game series, obviously a long series, you don't want to wear out your bullpen. But Game 4, like I said, is another must win, because you have Keuchel in Game 5, and I don't know if they can beat Keuchel.
Nelly, my question is, my last one is, as a bullpen guy, and I look at Houston tries to avoid their bullpen at all cost. And in the beginning, the first 2 games, they didn't use the bullpen, obviously, on Verlander's CG, and they only used Giles at the end of that game and Davinsky for a 3rd. As a bullpen guy, all this time throughout the playoffs, they're not getting their reps, right? You look at the Dodgers, they get, you know, they have guys, Brandon Morrow and Maeda and Watson. They're constantly doing the matchups and they're getting work. How tough is it for a bullpen guy like yourself to go and not pitch for 4 or 5 days and all of a sudden you're on the biggest stage and having to be sharp?
Well, it is tough because you're always used to at least, once every other day during the regular season. You're used to throwing 60 to 72 games, 73 games during the regular season. And once the postseason starts, you're used to even more consistency. And when you have a team like the Astros, has stayed away from their main guys, because I think that's their weakness. You know, even Giles will give it up. You look at the Cubs. The Cubs is the same way. Their bullpen is awful. You know, 24 and a third innings, they've given up 19 runs. And because it's the National League, you know, you're only getting 4 or 5 innings out of your starter, because you're going to have to pinch hit them at one point in the 6th or 7th. But in the American League, you think you would, hey, I could ride my starters out a little longer. But with Houston, that's their Achilles heel down there. And and they try to avoid them at every cost. But you knew going into their third starter and their fourth starter are going to have to use them. So tomorrow, I mean, who knows how long McCullers is going to last. His last few outings out of the bullpen, he's actually been pretty decent. He's got a nasty breaking ball, and that's something that can really neutralize the Yankee hitters. I mean, they strike out a whole lot. They're a good fastball-hitting team. Let's see how they respond in game four, and let's see how McCullers responds and see how long he can go deep into that game.
Hey, Nelly, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, very good. Jeff Nelson joining us here on MLB at the Plate. Again, it's the Yankees back in it in the American League Championship Series, beating the Astros tonight 8-1. Little breaking news is Lance McCullers is going to go to the hill game four for the Astros, according to manager A.J. Hinch. Take a quick break. We'll come back, get the Astros side of things with Steve Sparks, their wonderful color commentator on radio. He's J.P. Arencibia. I'm Holden Kushner. This is MLB at the Plate.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
All right, so we got ourselves a series here as the Yankees down the Astros 8-1. Houston still has a 2-1 series lead, and the Game 4 pitching matchup will be Sonny Gray and Lance McCullers joining us now. On the telephone is Steve Sparks, the wonderful color analyst on the radio for the Astros. Steve, it's Holden Kushner, J.P. Arencibia. How are you?
Holden, you're a wonderful host, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Let's get right into Game 4. Let's put Game 3.
Let's do, yeah.
We'll talk about Game 3, but I think we got some breaking news we need to talk about here is Lance McCullers. And before we recap Game 3, Lance McCullers goes out here and has a chance to really step up on a big stage. Why do you think Hinch went with McCullers, is going with McCullers in Game 4, and what do you expect from him in Game 4?
Well, there's a little bit of an unknown with Lance McCullers Jr. just because he hasn't pitched much in the second half. Now, the stuff is electric. He was an all-star this year, and Brian McCann told me this offseason to a man in the Yankees clubhouse when they faced him last year, they said, that was the best stuff we'd seen all year. And to a man, they realized that, I mean, this hook of Lance McCullers Jr. is one of the most elite pitches in all of the league, no matter what pitch it is. So that's what you're looking for. A.J. Hinch, I talked to him a few hours before the ball game today, asked him which way he was leaning. He was still 60-40 leaning toward Lance over Brad Peacock in the game, and he was going to just – he didn't want to make up his mind completely. He wanted to observe today's game and see which one of those guys he might need in the game. Had Morton faltered early in that ball game, and he was going to watch the effectiveness also of CC Sabathia to feel like if the Astros had a chance to maybe come back, then he was going to go for it. But things didn't work out that way. I think he was leaning toward Lance McCullers Jr. anyway. He didn't use either of those pitchers, so it could almost be a piggyback situation for the Astros tomorrow.
Steve, what am I, chopped liver? You give Holden a shout out from the beginning.
God, I love you.
Get no love over here.
So much love to Orbit the mascot in Houston. I mean, that's going to go for years, JP. One of the best sports we've seen from an opposing player in Houston in the last 5 years, no doubt about it.
Oh no, it was great, and I actually sport my Orbit T-shirt that he sent me because I was
He's a good mascot, isn't he? He's good. He's creative.
Yeah, it was always fun to play at Houston, and he did a great job. My biggest thing is, you know, watching the Astros. This is such a complete team. It is such an amazing team to watch. It's crazy to me the bullpen, and you go into the season with. I was like, hey, this bullpen's lights out. You know, Gregerson, Giles, Harris. All these guys.
Right.
What's
Davinsky.
Davinsky, obviously. Yeah. Jeez. Talk about what's the feeling around there, because it seems like it's almost like they do not want to get to that bullpen at all cost.
You know what? A lot of that had to do with, I mean, when you're watching Justin Verlander do what he does, and he storms into the dugout after 109 pitches in 8 innings, and he zooms right by the pitching coach and the manager, didn't even give him a chance to look at him or say anything other than he's going back out there for the ninth inning. So that's a big part of that game. And Keuchel was masterful in game one. He's not shying away from these guys. He has confidence, especially in those guys that we just named, JP. It just hasn't been an opportunity for those guys. And with today's lopsided victory for the Yankees, it just compounds, you know, what's kind of going on right now. But loaded completely right now as far as being fresh. And you know as well as anybody, there's ups in the bullpen as well. And Harris has been up almost every single game so far in the postseason. Davinsky's been up a ton. So those ups count for a little bit too. They just haven't gotten a chance to get into the ball game.
No doubt. And another thing for me is talk about Mr. McCann behind the plate. Obviously playing against him, he was a guy who is just so knowledgeable, such a great game caller. Not to take anything away from Gattis, because Gattis, I think, is a good catcher himself. But this is the only game that McCann didn't catch, and they lost 8-1. Talk about how important it is to have him, too, behind the dish. I know they wanted to match up with Morton, but how big of an advantage is it to have a McCann, who also played against the Yankees and knows them well?
Right, he played with the Yankees.
Or with,
so
you, with him, sorry.
A lot
yeah.
of the tendency. Yeah, so you're standing around the batting cage, and you start to learn how people think and what they're looking for in certain situations. And you have those conversations on the buses and on the airplane, around the batting cage and all that. So you know exactly what hitters are strong with, what they hate, and things of that nature. So McCann's perfect in this situation for this Astros team. He's the first guy at the ballpark every day outside of a couple of coaches. He's in there studying video from a year ago, matching up his pitcher with that type of stuff. Now, he's going to look for somebody like a Lance McCullers that's fared well against the Yankees in the past and try to see how guys use their stuff. He pours through copious amounts of video to try to find perfect matchups. Comes up with a game plan, matches it up with the front office's game plan, and they mix and match a little bit to see what kind of a plan they want to go out there with. Now, obviously, it can go out the window when you take a look at a guy's stuff sometimes. If he can't command glove side, say, then you're going to have to go to some different things. Now, McCullers throws his breaking ball more than anybody else. I'm sure he'll stick with that quite a bit. It's going to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, which is advantageous for him going into that ball game so he can get a better grip on that pitch. Tonight it was cool, a little bit windy, so I imagine the ball was pretty slick. But I think tomorrow Lance McCullers is a good option to go to try to stifle this thing and get a 3-1 advantage in the series.
All right, Steve Sparks is with us. Steve, I didn't think Charlie Morton pitched that poorly tonight. Now, the line is completely crooked, but Todd Frazier had a one-armed opposite field home run that's not a home run in about 90% of the parks, and then if Maven makes that grab, it's a 1-2-3. So really, when you look at the box score, Charlie Morton pitched horribly. But I think if you watch that game, it wasn't really a bad start, was it? I wouldn't hesitate running him out there again.
I would not either. You know, we're going to have to look at this tape again. I'm not sure what happened with Maven on there, why he pulled up on that ball, because it looked like it landed just about 4 feet away from his feet, and he had time just to take another step forward and make the catch. I may be totally wrong there, but that's the way I saw it in the radio booth, and I never saw a replay on my monitor. Other than that, an infield single in the second inning with two ups, got things rolling with Starlin Castro, another base hit, a soft one off the end of the bat by Hicks, and then that 3-run homer, the Ryan Sandberg step in the bucket, go the opposite direction for Todd Frazier, and then all of a sudden it's 3-0, and you're starting to scramble. So, you know, there's a lot of misfortune, and those type of starts happen. It gets magnified, obviously, in the postseason. But I'm with you. I didn't think he pitched that poorly. I thought he had good stuff, good command. Things just didn't go his way tonight.
Steve, talk about Mr. Reddick, Josh Reddick out there in the outfield. He's a guy who literally – he does so many things good defensively. And as a former pitcher, and you know this, he threw out there was a big throw out at third base to end the inning in the previous series, the relay to the plate. It seems to me he's a guy who people don't, you know, it goes under evaluated how important he has been to this team. And I'm not saying, obviously you guys know, but just the normal fans that don't realize how important even hitting the cutoff, doing those things are. How big has he been for that outfield?
Well, he's super intense. And Justin Verlander said something the other day, and Reddick is a kind of a, he's the sharp tongue guy in the clubhouse. So he's wearing people out. He's cutting everybody down to size. And he's joking around, doing a lot of things. He loves the professional wrestling stuff, and he's just crazy. And he comes out in the Speedo and the celebrations. But when he gets on the field, he's the most intense player on the team. Runs everything out hard down the line, and he sets the tone for a lot of these guys. To me, it looks like he's a player that's almost like he has rabies or something. But what he's able to do is incorporate that intensity and that fire and play smart baseball. And that throw, what he had to do on that throw on that cutoff was get the ball in his bare hands so there wasn't time to transfer, throw blindly almost, anticipating where Correa should have been, and absolutely hit him right at the chest for Correa to get off a good throw as well. So he's a very savvy, smart baseball player. When you're talking about desire and hustle, that makes up for a lot of lack of talent sometimes for players. And look at him, man. He's one of the best. He's one of those role type of players, signed a 4-year deal with the Astros in the offseason. Some people were raising their eyebrows, but he's been a great pickup for the team.
Hey, Steve, how would you compare the two atmospheres so far in this series with Houston and Yankee Stadium?
You know what? I'm kind of biased in this way, is old Yankee Stadium was such a rabid atmosphere. I mean, you get into that ballpark and you got all the crazy people sitting up close. Here, it's more corporate and the stands go out further in the lower bowl. And I don't think it's as intimidating. Now, it still gets loud and gets raucous because a lot of people are up in the stands and out in the bleachers and things of that nature. But as a player, when you're right down there in the middle of the action, you don't feel that intensity that like you used to at old Yankee Stadium. With that being said, you don't get more knowledgeable than these fans here in New York or Boston, places like that. Astros fans are getting better. They're starting to make that noise at the perfect times where you're starting to realize they're really getting to know how important they are in the flow of a game. But with the roof closed at Minute Maid Park, it doesn't get much louder than that. It really doesn't. You hear, I've heard players from opposing teams talk about situations where you cannot have a conversation with the person next to you when things get rowdy.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. This is the last thing for me, but you can comment on this. There, I don't know how many times that I played in Houston, but as many times as I played in Houston, every time somebody hit a home run and the freaking train guy set off the bomb or whatever the heck they set off, I would jump wherever I was. So I do know the atmospheres. And you're right about New York. It is a much more corporate feeling. It's kind of the guy who tells you you suck, and you're like, okay, thanks for that. But
yeah,
Houston, one thing I'll never forget, and I have nightmares about it a little bit, is how loud that train sounds whenever somebody goes deep.
It does. It gets cranking, and it just adds to the noise, and it fuels everybody. And right now, JP, with all that's going on in the city, and maybe people start getting things lost about Hurricane Harvey that it happened 6 weeks ago now. People are going to be in pain there for years to come. I mean, it's devastating what's going on in that city, and being able to come to the ballpark, rally around the team, and release some of that pent-up energy right now, it's real.
Steve, thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
You got it, guys. Anytime. Good to talk to you.
All right, very good. Steve Sparks, the color analyst for the Astros. Real quick, you brought it up to Steve, JP. Let's talk catcher right here. McCann not behind the plate tonight. I just want to get a little bit more of your thoughts on if you think that really did affect the way things went on the mound for Morton.
I mean, listen, it couldn't have. The biggest thing for me is I think it's pretty easy to think about. When you think about a person who played in that division and played with those players. He was a teammate in New York for a while. He knows a lot of these guys. He saw them as young kids coming up. I'm sure he had many conversations of approaches and how, you know, what they go through and what they think and what they're, you know, teammates talk to teammates. And unfortunately, sometimes those teammates become your opposing players. So The one thing is I know that no one will know the Yankees like a Brian McCann. And that's the only thing that jumps out to me. And nowadays, you know how it is. You look at the Dodgers and what they've done. Austin Barnes has gone out there and really, you know, done a good job. I don't know if we'll see, and this is the first game that Gattis caught behind the dish, but I don't know if we'll see Gattis again back there, because I know they wanted to get the whole Morton-Gattis combination, but again, it wasn't like he went out there and blew the doors down. If he would have gone out there and blow the doors down, then if he was going to pitch again, I would say Gattis back there 100%. As of right now, I don't feel that same way. He knows the Yankees in and out at a different level, where his game calling and his experience can really, really help them in a lot of situations.
All right, JP, let's listen to the manager of the Yankees, Joe Girardi, at the podium moments ago.
I'm not surprised what he did tonight. You know, we talked about we wanted him on the mound tonight, and cool. We thought we had the right guy on the mound tonight.
We'll come back.
Again, six innings, just an outstanding effort. And
Bulls and game three.
Couldn't ask for any more.
Joe.
I'll be done.
What do you attribute the
We'll just preview both games coming up tomorrow, and then we'll be done.
He's out of whack. And you know, he's went through it a couple times this year, and we've, you know, seemingly been able to get him on track a number of different times, and we're still trying to do that because I still think he's really important
Sabathia?
To us, and we need him. So we'll continue to try to fix it.
Okay.
Straight to your right, Joe, Mark.
So you guys have hit better at home. You've pitched better at home. What is it about this place that your team responds to so well, besides just being in front of your home fans?
You know, I think we're somewhat built for this ballpark, number one. Number two, I think it's just you're familiar with it. You're familiar with everything that you do on a daily basis. You know, you have your routine, and you're able to be in your routine. And, you know, I find that baseball players like routine because we're told where to be all the time. You know, whether it's in spring training or during the course of the season, this is what time you report. This is what time we have BP. This is what time we have our meetings. So I think the routine is normal for them, and I think it helps.
To your right, Joe. Joel.
Joe, during the worst of Judge's slump in the second half and through this, and when it came up again in the playoffs, you've always stuck with him mm-hmm. in an important spot in the lineup. Why and,
how are you
and what do you think about the reward when it does happen?
Well, I think that in his struggles, he's still been pretty patient. You know, yeah, he gets a little bit off mechanically. I think part of that is probably being 6'7". And I felt like there's been some borderline pitches called on him that didn't go his way that probably it can change in a bat. You know, the difference between, you know, 2-0 or 1-1 or 1-1 or 2-1 and 1-2, I mean, it's a big difference. So, you know, I think that he's extremely talented. And, you know, you can look at his numbers and say, you know, he's not hitting for an average. But we've played, I don't know how many playoff games, 9. He's got 7 RBIs. He gets his walks. He had another walk tonight. And I just know how dangerous he is. He can really change a game really quickly.
To your right, Joe, in the third row.
Hey, Joe. Todd Frazier hasn't been here forever, but it certainly feels like he has been. How much has he meant to the club, not only on the field, but in the clubhouse?
Just a real lot. He's a joy to be around. He's fun to be around. He brings a ton of energy every day. As I said, he's always cheering for his teammates and trying to build them up. And he's fun to be around.
Allison in the center.
Just on Frazier's home run, just from your vantage point, it looks like he really went down and got that.
Yeah.
Just what did you see from that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was that bad of a pitch. And, you know, these are big league hitters, and we've seen it. We've been on the other side of that. We think you make a pretty good pitch, and the guy ends up with a base hit or hits it out of the ballpark, and it's just – you know, again, he went to right field. There's an advantage of going to right field here, and it paid off.
Even with the ninth inning tonight, but you still have your three big relievers rested for game four. How confident are you?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping not to use Tommy tonight, but I had to use him. And, you know, Greeny didn't work. He was up a little bit. But Robertson didn't work. And Chapman had to get up a little bit. But it's good. It's good to have those guys. And, you know, maybe I'll have Tommy for an inning tomorrow. We'll see.
I'll take two more on the right.
Joe, obviously it's always nice to get out to the early lead, but being down 2-0, was it that much more important tonight to do that?
I think so. I think it allowed CC to go to work. And I think, you know, there were some big at-bats in that fourth inning where we got five runs. I thought Headley had a big at bat. His RBI kind of opened up the inning to be a big inning. We get a leadoff double, and it looks like we may not get him in, and he ends up getting him in. And then we get another run with a wild pitch, and then the three-run homer. But, yeah, I mean, I think those three runs early were helpful.
We'll take a last one from Dave.
Joe, you touched on it before the game, just on how the team has played here at Yankee Stadium and how they've kind of fed off the energy. And that was before you guys went out and scored eight runs. I mean, do they just get more relaxed here? Do they feel more energy here? They just seem like a different team.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, that's the importance of playing at home. You know, and I think that's why we've had such a good home record is the normal routine. Our players are used to this field. They know how to hit here. And our fans are great. I mean, I'm watching them in the first inning in left field, and they're banging on the wall. And I love it. You know, I mean, it's great to see.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
And they cheered him tonight, too, so they had to be happy about that. Real quick, last thought on tonight's game as we're back here. JP here in CB. I'm holding Kushner, MLB at the plate, and the Yankees take out the Astros 8-1 tonight. What'd you think about the quick hook on Betances tonight, JP?
I'm not a fan. You're up 8-0, and I know he said that he just got Chapman up. You heard Nelly. You got him hot. And it's as much as when you get a pitcher hot, it's as much as an outing. So that's where the whole quote-unquote dry hump scenario comes in, is because you don't want to do that to a pitcher because it literally is almost like the guy going out and throwing an inning. I think they pulled the hook on Betances and on a person who's struggling mentally, because obviously there's something to do with mechanics, but he's also mentally struggling out there. Give him the opportunity. You're up a touchdown and a two-point conversion. You don't have to really worry that bad knowing that you have Chapman and Robertson back there. And, you know, now Betances, he's still you don't have him, as opposed to what happens if the next batter he would have figured it out, punched out the side, which he's capable of doing, and then you have him back in a good mental space. So I hated to see that they had that early hook on him, and I wish they would have at least grinded with him a little bit more.
All right, let's look ahead to Game 4 coming up tomorrow afternoon, 5 Eastern. So Sonny Gray and Lance McCullers, the pitching matchup. We'll start with Gray. 3 1/3 innings, gave up 3 runs in his start at Cleveland. Also gave up 5 runs and had a 6-run outing in 2 of his last 3 starts down the stretch. So he has not been pitching very well. That being said, for me, it's going to be tougher to find a better number 4 starter than Sonny Gray. What have you seen from Gray recently, and what makes you think Gray can have a really good outing tomorrow?
Because he's a bulldog. I think, you know, everything goes out the door recently for me, as far as there's always an opportunity to have a huge start every time you toe the rubber in a playoff game. You may have, look at Severino. Severino bombs his first opportunity, dominates his second. So I'm not worried about that. But there is one thing is for me, I think Sonny is a guy who pitched in the SEC, pitched in big games, he pitched in the College World Series. He's been in big situations. I know he's a bulldog. He's a huge competitor. And the Yankees went out and got him for this exact situation, to go out there and to be able to help the team win games in the biggest stage. And so I think he is a guy, like you said, there's not many better number 4 starters that I would like to throw. And he hasn't been stellar, but I think that he goes out there and he competes and he gives the Yankees an opportunity to win.
On the other side, A.J. Hinch saying that it's going to be Lance McCullers getting the start. You know, McCullers back in May looked like he was the best pitcher in baseball. He had that .99 ERA in 36 1/3 innings. Landed on the DL a couple of times this year. Had a really rough finish to the season, where his September ERA was almost 7. That being said, guy's got nasty stuff. Probably one of the arms the Astros are going to count on in their rotation for a long, long time. Hinch was asked why he's getting a start, and he goes, because he's really good. So for McCullers, what's the key for him staying out there? Because it's looking right now, if I were to place a bet on it, both teams are going to have to use a lot of their bullpens. But what's McCullers got to do to get through 5 innings tomorrow, if they even need that much out of him?
There's only one thing for McCullers: throw a strike with your breaking ball. If he can go out there and throw strikes with his breaking ball, the Yankees will have a tough time. You remember Trevor Bauer, the first game that he pitched against the Yankees, from the first inning, he was dropping in that curveball anytime he wanted for a strike. All of a sudden, that fastball gets much tougher to hit, and we already know that McCullers has the best breaking ball in the game statistically. So if he can go out there and establish his curveball and throw it for strikes, McCullers dominates. But if he can't throw it for strikes, then he might have some trouble.
And then if it's going to be a battle of the bullpens, this is exactly what the Yankees want, because they have the advantage there. The starting pitching goes to the Astros with their two horses, Keuchel and, of course, Verlander. But once it gets to the bullpens, it's a decided advantage to the Yankees, right?
100. I mean, not even. It's tenfold advantage to the Yankees.
I also thought it was interesting tonight that the Astros' bats didn't get going, because not very often that you got to shut them down like they did tonight with CC and then, you know, the bullpen outside of Betances. But, wow. The fact of the matter is, it is possible to stop this Astros offensive machine, but I got to tell you, man, I don't see it happening too many more times this series. Maybe if they can get another outing where they hold them under three runs, but there's just too much. There's just too much top to bottom. I think the big thing the Yankees have working for them, again, it'll be McCullers. They will see a lot of the Astros bullpen. And the other thing is, Aaron Judge got going tonight. You know, it wasn't only Judge. Frazier got going. And as you mentioned, the bottom of the order. So the Yankees got to be feeling really good about themselves. 4-0 at home so far in the playoffs. Their offense is clicking, and they'll have a chance to get into the Houston bullpen tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if Judge necessarily got going. He went 1-for-3, and he hit a home run, a three-run homer, which is nice. He punched out another two times. So I don't necessarily know if he's exactly going yet. The one thing is that, you know, the last five hitters in the lineup all got hits. That's nice to see. You had RBI out of Chase Headley, which shows a little bit of life, and Frazier going out and hitting the home run. Again, this is a team that is a all-or-nothing kind of offense, and so if McCullers can throw his breaking ball for strikes and doesn't have to throw fastballs, he'll be in good shape, because if he's having to throw his fastball and getting behind with the breaking pitches, do you know what happens with 2-0 and 3-1 fastballs?
They get hit hard.
And where do they land?
They go out of the ballpark.
Yeah, and so that's why it'll be a tough day for the old Houston Astros.
All right, let's get the best day ever home run tracker and statistically speaking.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro.
All right, I'll take the hitter, you take the pitcher. I'll go Aaron Judge, 371 on the home run. Made the great catch up against the wall out there. Aaron Judge, best day ever. Let me guess who you're going with. No, why don't you just tell him who you're going with? A left-hander, right?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. She's a Sabathia. I mean, six innings, three hits. The four walks are high, but the reason why I don't care about the four walks is because he has to be able to pitch like that to get outs and to be good. You can't give in. 3-2 is no longer a fastball count. 2-0 is no longer a fastball count for CeCe Sabathia. He has to be able to pitch behind, and that's why you'll see those walks up. But again, the biggest thing is the six innings and the no runs allowed.
All right, and then we got a couple home runs to tell you about.
MLB at the plate home run tracker.
Frazier's one arm oppo blast went 365 feet, 100 miles an hour off the bat, and 21 degrees. Same thing for Aaron Judge, 21 degrees, hit at 371 and 103 exit velocity. Let's look deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking,
CeCe Sabathia 10-0 with a 1.69 ERA and 13 starts following a Yankees loss. At 37 years old, 87 days as well, CeCe Sabathia, oldest pitcher with six scoreless innings in the playoffs since Pedro back in 2009 in that National League Championship Series Game 2, and he was a member of the Phillies. And the Yankees have scored 25 runs with two outs this postseason. For context, the Cubs scored 23 runs with two outs in the 2016 postseason, the whole postseason. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Aaron CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.